The next presentation is also stress related, but it's a different kind of stress, looking at the canopy temperatures. Cotton canopy temperature as a means of identifying crop stress and its relationship with the photosynthesis and yield, presented by Murillo Medham, mm-hmm. and the co-authors from Texas A&M, Texas AgriLife.
Thank you for the introduction. Howdy, everybody. Very happy to be here and be able to share with you a little bit of the work we've been doing at Texas A&M in College Station. Today we'll talk a little bit about cotton canopy temperature and how that is related to photosynthesis and yield. Just a little brief outline of the presentation. I'll just go over just a brief introduction and then objectives, materials and methods, the results and discussion, and then some of the conclusions. So we know that most of the plants growing under natural conditions, they are more often than not unable to express their full genetic potential. And that's mainly due to stresses, drought stress, high temperature stress, or high levels of solar radiation are good examples of that. We know that high temperature stress will cause fruit shedding in cotton, and because the yield of cotton comes from those reproductive structures, that fruit shedding will cause a negative impact on our yield. The main objective of our study was to evaluate the benefit of 1-MCP applications in alleviating high temperature and drought stress in cotton. However, today I'd like to talk, like I said, a little bit about canopy temperature and its relationship with photosynthesis and yield. The materials and methods, this trial was conducted at the Texas A&M Research Farm in College Station. We had a single variety, which was Phytogen 499. The plots were 4-row plots by 32 feet. When we harvested, and the yield I'm going to show you is it came out of the two center rows. The experiment was designed as a randomized complete block with irrigation split, meaning we had a dry land and then a irrigated section, which is it was basically 80% replacement of ET. We had a total of 32 plots, and each one of those plots had a IRT. It's an infrared thermometer. It's shown here in the picture for those of you that haven't seen those. Those are from SmartField, and they take continuous readings every minute, and then those values are averaged over every 15 minutes. We then collected photosynthetic activity data using the Lycor 6400 at three distinct stages. We have EB, which was early bloom, and then FB for full bloom, and OB for the open bowl stage. And those are the treatments I thought I'd show you for the main objective of the study. We had a control, which was untreated plot. And then we had three treatments, which basically they triggered a 1-MCP application to the plots. We had a smart crop treatment, and then two treatments that triggered a 1-MCP application based on forecasted maximum ambient temperature of 95 and then 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So this shows a historical rainfall for our region, or the experimental site. And we have 2013 here on the far left and 2000 on the far right. with the average being the average of those 13 years. So from there we can see that 12 and 13 weren't very far from our average for the region. However, what it's important to know is what we got as far as rainfall within the growing season, meaning within planting and harvesting dates. So in 2012, we had 19.8 inches, and then for 13, we had 12.8. So we had a 7-inch difference there from 13 and 12. Average temperature and rainfall, and this shows better the distribution of rainfall within the growing season. And we have on our primary y-axis the temperature in degrees Fahrenheit, and then on the secondary we have our rainfall in inches, and we have basically the days from planting to harvest here in the x-axis. The 2012 is shown in blue and 13 is shown in red. The continuous line we have are the temperature for those years, and then the X and the squares show rainfall. And with the exception of the first 30 to 40 days after planting, where 2013 had a lower overall temperature, the rest of the season the temperature itself wasn't very different. We had averaging the season probably about a degree and a half difference. But we know from here that 2012 had a better distribution of rainfall during the season than 13 did. Jumping into some of the results here. Here we have canopy temperature and photosynthetic activity. And I should mention here that here we have data for 12 and 13 dryland plots combined. And the canopy temperature data that you're seeing here in this graph, those are basically an average from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which was to match the time of the day when we took the photosynthetic activity readings with the LICOR. Now, if we look on the x-axis, we can see that the highest photosynthetic activity is on your far right, and I have that arrow pointing upwards to the left showing maturity. And what that means is that when we started the season, we were over here. So our first measurement was taken at early bloom, and we had a high photosynthetic activity, and as the season progressed or the crop aged, canopy temperatures increased and photosynthetic activity decreased. We have a fairly high R-square value for dryland plots. And we can see that for the irrigated, again, we have 12 and 13 data combined for the irrigated plots. We can still see that the same trend applies. However, the R-square value decreased. So for the main objective of the trial, we did look at several variables and how those correlate with each other. Today, though, I'd like you to focus on two of those, which are the photosynthetic activity and the yield, and how those related to canopy temperature. So let's start with photosynthetic activity and canopy temperature. Those were only significantly correlated when we combine both dryland and irrigated plots data for all three stages of measurements. In 2013, they were significantly correlated for the dryland plots at the full bloom stage, and then at the open bow stage when irrigated and dry land were combined, and when all the data for the season for the three stages were combined, it was also significantly they were significantly correlated. As far as yield and canopy temperature, they were significant at the open bow stage when irrigated and dry land plots data were combined, but also at the early bloom stage in 2013 when irrigated and dry land were combined, and just when we looked at the dry land data. At the open bow stage, irrigated and dry land data combined, it was also significantly correlated. And when all the data for the 2013 year was combined, it was also significantly correlated. Now, it wasn't consistent as far as when those two, photosynthetic activity and yield, were correlated with yield with canopy temperature, excuse me. But what we saw, where we saw a consistency, was that whenever those plots were irrigated, we didn't see, they were not significantly correlated, meaning photosynthetic activity and yield were not significantly correlated with canopy temperature when those plots were irrigated, only when the data was combined or it was dryland. If we look at yield and canopy temperature here, we have the yield in pounds per acre on the y-axis and then the canopy temperature on the x-axis. We have dryland plots plotted in blue and then the irrigated plots plotted in red. We can see that, again, for the irrigated plots, we have an R-square value of 0.72, and for dry land, we have 0.87. Now, what's interesting to note from this graph is how tight those points are on 2012. We can see that irrigated plots yielded more than the dryland plots, and that there's a narrow range of canopy temperatures there. In 2013, again, the irrigated plots did yield higher than the drylands did, but we can also see that there was a bigger difference in canopy temperature. Now, if we look at yield and canopy temperature depression, which basically means your ambient temperature minus your canopy temperature, and that's shown on your x-axis here, what that means is the higher that number is, the cooler your canopy temperature is compared to your ambient temperature. So if we look at 12 and 13 separated here, in 2012 the R-square value was 0.7, and then in 13 it was higher at 0.62. And this we can see a nice trend here, that the cooler your canopy temperature is compared to your ambient temperature, the higher your yield's gonna be. So in conclusion, we see that lower canopy temperatures and higher canopy temperature depression led to higher yields. Canopy temperature of the irrigated plots were generally lower than that of the dryland plots. And we also see that canopy temperature measured with IRTs seems to better predict photosynthetic activity and yield when the crop is under some type of stress, in this case, dryland. As far as future research, this is more recommendations than anything else. We'd like to see some greenhouse studies we've done with IRTs, and perhaps using different levels of irrigation deficit. And a long-term canopy temperature monitoring for specific locations and varieties would also be a good idea, and just to have that, you know, to build a database there. I would like to acknowledge AgroFire Smart Field, Texas State Sport Committee, Texas A&M University, Department of Soil and Crop Sciences, and also my co-workers at the Cotton Physiology Workgroup. And with that, I'll be happy to entertain any questions. Yes, sir. No, sir. Not for this study. We didn't look at stomatal density. I mean, we were using the same. It was a single variety. I understand there are differences there, but no, we didn't look at stomatal density. Yes. Well, I'd say probably the biggest one is the difference in rainfall and the distribution of that rainfall within the growing season. That would be probably my best guess.
Thank you.